We're blessed to have our own facility as a church. We really are. And we have had a core of givers since 2007 that have made our vision to establish ourselves in Fremantle a reality. And the purpose of the next three Sundays is for us to gain understanding of the importance of building God's house together. Set aside our time, our money, and we can strengthen the vision that God has given this house together. So on February 17, I said, all key leaders and staff, please bring their promises. Make sure you've got your promises in. And then on the 24th of February, the entire church will give. And I'm looking forward to, in March, being able to let you know the total that we've been able to receive. So let's just hear from some of the other people about what they love about our facility. Let's run that video now and turn the house lights off. Thanks.
What do we love about the C3 Fremantle facilities? Love the atmosphere as you walk in, the kind of open space. It's a great venue. It's a great venue to hold a church, a great venue for youth, and a kind of a great, got a great cafe feel. So we just feel really at home here in the church.
What I love about the church is that you can do almost anything that the church needs to cater for in the facilities they have currently. I like where it's located. I think it's a building that shows out in the rest of Fremantle, and I think that it definitely is something that people can drive past and know that we're here. The fact that the kids have these wonderful facilities they can play at and have children's church, and that everybody can enjoy every facet of the church.
The facilities here in C3 Church are great, especially the people and the coffee.
Yeah.
I like the church because of the people and the food.
My favourite thing about the church is the food, the pastor, the people and all the kids.
What I like about the church is that there's really nice people, and at Kids Zone there's a lot of people that help and really nice kids.
The facilities here is very good. I like the central location. I mean, Fremantle has got very few churches, and the C3 church is strategically located. And I think being here is good. It's a good church, and I love the church here, the centers and the office facilities. And so, no doubt, it's a good facility.
The reason I like to give to the building fund is because we do want to own this, you know, and it would be wonderful to be able to own this outright, and then all any money then is can be used directly in the community. And I think that's the overall goal, is a wonderful goal to have, is to be able to help the community as much as we can. And if we can free up that part of our funds by owning this building, then we're there.
Yeah, we continue giving to the church because to help to develop the church facilities and to help across the world.
From what Pastor Nigel has shared with us regarding about the history of this building, I think it's a miracle by itself. Basically, it's because I think the hand of God is upon this whole thing by giving us this building to reside in as a church. So if this is the plan of God, so I would always want to be in the middle of that. All right, so that's the reason I give it to give to the building fund.
Excellent. Thanks, guys. That's great. So this morning, I want to talk to you about patching your pockets. Patch your pockets. You know, in Haggai, the Bible says this: your wages disappear as though you are putting them in pockets filled with holes. And too often, we can spend too much time and effort worrying, working, and wrestling with things without the blessing of God. I don't know about you, but I'd like to have the blessing of God on every part of my life. And one of the financial ways that we can know that God is going to look after us is in this area of looking after God's house. And so in Haggai 1:6, let me read it to you again. Your wages disappear as though you're putting them in pockets filled with holes. I hear that so often. I've never got any money. You know, they've always got bills. Well, we're going to help you this morning a little bit. Who'd like to be helped with having more money in the bank? You know, and actually having money for the bills. And so I'm hoping that this week and even in just allowing God into your finances will help lift in on its own, because it's a biblical principle. And so Haggai's message helped the people get their priorities straight. When God is pleased with our priorities, he promises to empower us. Now that's God's word. So when he's pleased with our priorities, he will empower us. Who'd like more money? Who'd like to have a better relationship with our husband or wife? All of us? I would. I'm not saying it's bad, I'm just saying it could be better. Okay, just in case you're all wondering. just better clarify that. But who'd like to, you know, when we actually take God's word for what it is, it helps every area of our life. And so the people in Haggai, they went away from God, and then God brings his prophet and gives them some ways to actually get back on track. And one of those areas was in building God's house. And so let me read you a psalm. Psalm 68, verse 19. Praise the Lord. Praise God, our Savior. For each day he carries us in his arms. How cool is that? And so we miss God's provision. We miss out on being carried by him, often because we fail to put his promises first in our lives. And so my focus today is in our financial affairs. And because God wants to bless us in this area. However, I want to say this. Sometimes we think that we can be lacking. And Haggai explains to the people, because they have not built God's house, they'd hardly considered it, in fact, and in so doing, they had not worshipped him. Now, this is interesting. The more you forget about God's house, the more you forget to connect with God's people, the less you worship him, the less in touch you are with what God has for you. And so the supernatural power of God into your life is negligent, if at all. And you may be a believer, but you're not experiencing the blessing that God has for you. Who'd like to have the blessing of God on their life? And that comes through being obedient to God's word and doing those things that God says. And one of those is building his house. You know, I'd like to every one of us to be encouraged today. For we can all make a vast difference no matter who we are. Let me give you some examples of this, just in case you're wondering. Because every person can get involved in this program. It's not about the amount. It's about being a spirit of blessing and wanting this house to go further and further in God's will. And I know God wants that, and he's proven that over the years, but what a difference it makes when we all get on board. Wow. You know, God can do so much. But look at this. These are some... Be encouraged, all right? Because in case you're thinking that you can't do it or you're not good enough. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. That's a bit later on. Jacob, on the overhead, Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. David had an affair and was a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Naomi was a widow. Job was bankrupt. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Zacchaeus was too small. Timothy had an ulcer. And Lazarus was dead. God isn't finished with you yet. Church, God isn't finished with you. Don't feel condemned today. Start getting in line with God's purpose and vision for your life and watch what he does. So back to Haggai. The work was neglected. It was overlooked and considered as a lowly priority compared to their own concerns. And so this is how Haggai spoke to God's people. Consider how things are going for you. Consider how things are going for you. God wants us to learn his principles so he can keep his provision flowing into our lives. I pray nearly every morning, Lord, I thank you for your provision. Father, I pray today that I will personally be able to, I thank you, Lord, that as I bring my tithes and offerings, I thank you, Lord, as I bring my offerings to you, I know that my family will not be neglected. You know what? God has never neglected me. It's a fact. God looks after those who will look after his house. So first thing I want to say this morning is, now this is going to shock some of you, and I know some of you may do this, but I was asking around a little bit from young to old, and it's interesting. Some people do this in some areas of their lives, but I'd like us to think that we would start to do it in more. And that is, number one, keep a budget. Turn to your neighbour and say, keep a budget. Now, why is this important? If you want to keep God's blessing flowing in your life, who'd like to keep God's blessing flowing financially in their lives? To keep God's blessing flowing financially in your lives, you've got to know what you've got and how much you've decided to give, right? So, God's blessings are missed because people procrastinate, other priorities come up, and they forget that the blessing comes more so when we budget according to God's purpose and plans, and then he can bring more of provision into our world. I don't know about you, but I'd like more provision. And so we don't want to halt God's flow. And so I want to show you a simple budget this morning. Can you see it? Oh, yes, you can on the two side screens. So this is like a personal budget that we could all... it doesn't have to be exactly the same, and this is only a brief one. But what do you notice there? What's at the top of the list? The tithes, and what's second? Offerings. You know what? If you don't put... It might not be the biggest expense. If you've got a mortgage, your mortgage is probably the biggest expense, possibly. And then, you might have rent. There's food and fuel. There's all those things listed there. School fees. My goodness gracious me. That's a big one for our family. Has been over the years. Those of you who are free, put your hands up. Free from school fees. I want to see if you're free. Sandy, how does it feel? Liberating. I've only got two more years. I'm looking forward to the day. You know, Kira Marion, oh man, all those kids through university, my goodness. You know, and I believe it doesn't actually get that much easier. But hey, I guess that's why we're mum and dad. Anyhow, we need to keep a budget, church. So when you get your income, you know how much salary we get, right? We all know how much salary we get, or we know how much pension we get, whatever it is. We all know what our income figure is. And so the first thing we can do is say, you know what? I know that 10% of my gross income, that's God's. That's knowing that I'm going to be, knowing that I'm his kid, that he's going to look after me. And then above that, there's offerings. So that's why they go first. And then goes your mortgage or whatever else, as I've stated there. Let me talk to you a minute. You can turn that off. If anyone wants help on budgeting, there is a money course that we run, and I'd be happy to help with you if you'd like that information afterwards. Why do we need to keep a budget? God's portion is our top priority. In every stewardship relationship, there are two parties involved. The master, who hands out the resources and will one day ask for an accounting, and the steward, who is entrusted with the resources and must eventually show for how he's invested the money. God is the master. We are his stewards, accountable to him for all we do and that all we have. Look at what it says in Deuteronomy 8, verse 17, if you don't do this. And this is why I think a budget is really helpful. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. Let's be honest. If we're not putting God first, we are thinking how great we are, because that's human nature. Look what I've been able to achieve. Look what I've been able to do. Look at all these business opportunities. Wow, I'm good. Every one of us has it. We become proud really quickly. And so what budget allows is for we are actually saying, you know what? God's first. God's first in everything I do. And so it changes our heart, which softens us and allows God to put faith into us to bring His blessing into our world. And so when we commit to His priorities, which is what Haggai is on about in this whole of these two chapters, and we budget, we stop the likelihood of all those other things happening in our lives and getting a larger head than we need to. In Deuteronomy 8:18, it goes on, "And you shall remember the Lord your God." So in other words, how do we stop getting our thinking how great we are? You shall what? Remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth, and that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers. Secondly, so first, budget. If you haven't got a budget going, I would encourage you, turn to your husband or wife if you're next to them this morning and say, we need to start a budget. If you're not budgeting, I would, if you're a widow, if you're a pensioner, whatever your situation, if you're a young person, Jared started a budget. It's liberating, isn't it, son? It's actually helpful. It's helped you, hasn't it? So I might even get him to talk about that another time when I've got more time. But the point is, you know, we've all got bills, we've all got things we need, but a budget actually helps show you what you can and cannot spend and stops you going into debt, stops you getting into huge amounts of credit. It's a real important thing. Secondly, give. Once you've set your budget, well, what comes out first? What comes out first in your budget? Shout it out. What comes out first in your budget? Your tithes. Why? Because we've decided, haven't we? We're going to put God first. And so the tithe comes out, and then our offerings come out after that. Because giving is a major theme of God's word. And His people bring offerings for Him. You know, whenever we bring an offering, like for our future, what are we doing? We're saying, we love you, Lord. This is for you. We're seeing His kingdom established further in this place. It's a great thing to do. And so multiple times in Haggai, God says through His people, consider how things are going for you. And speak of how things go much better when we align ourselves with God's will and God's purposes for our lives. And one of those is getting behind the vision of God's house. When the people, I'm going to talk about it in a moment, when the people got behind the vision of God's house, things started to look up in so many ways, which I'll get to. You know, God will get things to you when you honor building His house. Haggai 2:19, I am giving you a promise now while seed is still in the barn, all right? So it's still there. It hasn't even happened yet. Before you have harvested your grain and before the grapevine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, the olive tree have produced their crops, from this day onward I will bless you. When God's people prioritize their time and money to build His house, we can be sure of His supernatural flow back into into our lives. I want to speak about this this morning. So first, what do we got to do? We've got to have a budget. Second, we've got to give. We've got to give what our budget says. And once you get a bit more mature in your giving, you can do what Dom suggested, and you can trust God, and you can see other income streams coming into your world. You know, you don't have to just have one income stream. God opens your mind to what is possible. And that is a real important deal. Because the more funds we have, the more the kingdom can prosper. The more God's house can prosper. And so thirdly, budget. Two, what? Give. Three, speak God's word over your life. One, budget. Two, give. Three, speak God's word over your life. Too many times we can go to the negative. And I've been, you know, have done this so many times myself. I look after the finances at home. Sometimes it doesn't look good. But you know what? When I go to faith, suddenly things look brighter. I'm trying to be authentic and honest here. When I go to faith, I can see a way forward. See, we are winners unless we become whiners. Let me say it again. We are winners unless we become whiners. What are God's people? What's the first thing they are? They're faith-filled. And so we've got to go to faith on this issue. See, we can habitually go to the negative things in life, which will eventually cause us to sin, or we can simply trust God at his word. I know what I'm going to do, and I know what a lot of us are going to do, if not all of us, and that is we're simply going to trust God at his word. Matthew 7, 7 to 8a says this: keep on asking and you will be given what you ask for. Keep on looking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened, for everyone who asks receives. When you have committed to giving to God first, when you have prioritized your life to honor God and his word, you can be confident of God's provision. He will patch your pockets. Who'd like to have their pockets? Who'd like to have their pockets patched more this year? Who'd like to keep from having holes in their pockets and wondering how they're going to keep up? Budget, give, and speak godly words over everything that you're doing. We will miss out on God's blessing unless we gain supernatural perspective. Because when you go to faith, when you actually start speaking out God's word over your life, it allows a connection with the Holy Spirit, which allows the supernatural flow into your world. I don't know anyone that wouldn't like a bit of supernatural flow into their world, sitting here this morning. Supernatural flow from God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He can do it for us. We've just got to get into the right framework. And this may take a little bit of time, because old habits die hard if you've never budgeted before, if you've never given in this area before. But together, we can certainly achieve our target this year. We can do it. Now, I want to give you an illustration from Pastor Collie over in Liberia, who rang me two Wednesdays ago. We support, and now we have three churches over there and one campus. Some of the team are going over there in April. But I want to, I have to slow down and take it in because of his accent, Pastor Collie's accent, so I've written it down, but I'll give you the main things here. Pastor Collie asked me, because I'm the senior minister of the churches in Liberia, for C3, West African churches over there, because he wanted to buy a new motorbike. His motorbike, it wasn't that it was completely dead. It was just that he wanted to give. In fact, now that we have three churches, there was a need in another church in C3 Kakata, and he wanted to give that motorbike to them. Well, I thought, I love your attitude. He wanted to give. But I said, look, with everything we're going, because we've started the school and the orphanage, I just thought, look, I at the moment, I just didn't feel a green light. But I did say to him, the team can ask him this when I go up there. I did say to him, I will trust God because I think God's in this. I don't know where it's going to come from, but I'm sure God's going to provide. And so we left it at that. He's always good-hearted about it. In fact, last week, in fact, so that was how it was. Now, it's been about a year since that conversation. And last week, about a year after he asked me for the motorbike, he said he had a story to tell me. And he said, you know how I wanted a new motorbike, Pastor? He always calls me Pastor Nigel. Well, God has provided, and he chuckles. He's got this really deep chuckle. He said, I entered a radio competition. Serious. I said, I didn't even know they had radio. He says, Pastor Nigel, when you come over, you're going to be on our national radio. That's pretty cool, eh? Anyway... Yeah, first for me. Anyway, he entered this radio competition. And the prize, guess what? Was a brand new motorbike. But he said it was from all the people in Monrovia, so it's quite a big city in Monrovia. He said, Pastor, out of all those people, I won the bike. And then he said, I've already given my old bike to Pastor Contessin. And I thought, wow. He is trusting the little that he has. But he stepped out and he said, God, I'm going to trust my pastor too, being me. And God provided. I'm telling you, when you obey God's word, when you trust him, and yes, you've got a budget, and they're doing that up there. They're doing what they can to budget. They're giving to, in what they can. They're actually putting on. They've decided they're going to host the seminar, the two-day seminar. They're going to pay for it. Their churches this year. They're getting what it is. They're doing the little that they can. And you know what? God's blessing them. God can bless you. God can do the same, no matter how difficult your situation is. Poor or not, start asking God, like the scriptures say in Matthew 7, ask and you will receive. You know, Pastor Collie could have had a bad attitude. We can have a bad attitude when it comes to giving. We can have a bad attitude and say, well, you know, pastors are always talking about giving. No, I'm wanting to get blessing into your world. I'm wanting the provision of God to flow back into your life. God is a supernatural God. He can do it. If he can do it for Pastor Collie with nothing, he can do it with us who have something. He can provide for our needs. He can provide the houses that you're looking for. And as we give, we can see God's provision flow back into our worlds. Keep on asking and you will be given what you ask for everyone who asks receives. This is an effective prayer, one that is helping West Africa as well. How cool is that? You know, watch what you say. Can I encourage us this morning? Watch what we say. Let's watch what we say in this area. Pray what you need. So budget. You're not going to know what you need unless you budget, are you? Seriously. And patch your pockets as you do. Budget, give, and pray into it. And let's see what God does for you. Let me read you this because I think it's important as we close this morning. Haggai 1 verse 2. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, well, whatever that is, the high priest, and the whole remnant of God's people obeyed the message from the Lord their God, all right, the message to build God's house. It had been delivered by the prophet Haggai, whom the Lord their God had sent, and the people worshipped the Lord in earnest. This is really important. Once God's people got their priorities in order, their faith for their God grew tremendously. Their hearts were fixed on their God, and they worshipped him. Where is our flow coming from? Our flow is coming from him. Where's the supernatural provision coming from? It's coming from God. So as we do our part, who wants to be a good steward with God? So as we're a good steward with God, and as we budget, as we give, and as we put our faith in God and his word in all areas of our lives, including our giving, we will see God answer so many of our problems in our lives. Father, today I pray that we will all understand and get a heart for you like never before, that we may worship you. Lord, that we may not just say that we believe in you, but that we may worship you. That our lives would show that we worship you in every area, in Jesus' mighty name. People of God said, amen. God bless you, church. Have a wonderful rest of your week. We got through what was probably one of the hottest Sundays. Fantastic. Don't forget to fill in your forms. You can pass those to the lovely Claire at the information desk. You can pay your FPOS this morning, or you can simply hand it into the offering in the coming weeks. Take care.